Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to John. Before the world began, there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. Nothing was made without him. In him there was life. That life was light for the people of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered the light. There was a man named John who was sent by God. He came to tell people about the light. Through him, all people could hear about the light and believe. John was not the light, but he came to tell people about the light. The true light was coming into the world. The true light gives light to all. The Word was in the world. The world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to the world that was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But some people did accept him. They believed in him. To them he gave the right to become children of God. They did not become his children in the human way. They were not born because of the desire or wish of some man. They were born of God. The Word became a man and lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory that belongs to the only Son of the Father. The Word was full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be
to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So as we heard that reading, it was all about light, wasn't it? The light of the world coming as a baby, a special child. And when Liz put the service sheet together, she obviously saw that theme of light, and we have that illustration in the beginning was the Word, and the light shines in the darkness. And when Hilary gave me the recommendations for the music, I thought, she's seen the light too, with the hymn she's chosen. And the collect, this special prayer, this simplified collect that we use at this particular service, asks that we may mirror the likeness of God through Jesus. If you've got an old mirror, or a mirror that's distorted in some way, this is a stainless steel shoehorn. If you look in it, have you ever been in a hall of mirrors and your face looks distorted and the body contorts all over the place? And you were upside down, Paula. Yes. There you go. That is an example of a mirror that's not reflecting too well. A mirror reflects an image, doesn't it? It doesn't give light. The moon is a mirror, isn't it, really? It reflects the light of the sun. And in that collect, we're told about being made in the image of God. And the fuller collect tonight, when we use that in a normal communion service, speaks about being made in the image of God. And if we'd have had two readings today, the epistle for the day is from Colossians, and it's that magnificent passage which speaks about Christ being the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. If we're confused over what to think, what to say, what to do in any situation, look to Jesus. He is the perfect reflection or image of God and is God. God was working supremely through him as a human being. But I don't want us to think solely about light today. I want to focus on something else, if you'll pardon the expression. I want to focus on that verse in verse 12, where John says, by believing in Jesus, we become children of God. Later in John, we're told you must be born again. Do you remember in chapter 3, that nighttime visit from Nicodemus? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit. You must make a new start. And of course, when John was writing, he was saying, well, you become a child of God when you come to faith. Well, I believe everyone is a child of God, and I would imagine you do too. I think when we're born again, or when we find faith, or we come to that discovery of who we are, then we come to that realization that we really are a child of God. We've discovered who we were all the time. And we come to that realization that as a child of God, we are loved. We are God's child. Right at the start, in Genesis, what was the first thing to be created? Let there be light. But that's not the end of the story, is it? There's a story of creation, and human beings are then created in the image of God. Have you got that shoehorn, please? A minute. And of course, you'll know the story that explains the downfall. But I think as we grow older, and perhaps in our teens, or as if we're not sort of distant from God, we're perhaps distorted. We look in the mirror and we're not our true selves. But when we are born again, we become a much clearer reflection as we seek to become more like Jesus. Sorry, Paula. She didn't want to be magnified, she said. Okay, there you go. Is that better? Polish that this morning. That's a good point about being magnified, actually, because the mirror does reveal things, doesn't it? Mirrors do reveal things. I can remember being in pantomimes in my younger days, and I had to go earlier before the show, before anyone else, because of the makeup. Because it took so long to totally change my appearance, and the mirror was surrounded by lights. And so you got this perfect mirror image to see what you're working with. But thinking about the value of a human being then, what does the Bible tell us? Well, it tells us in many places how valuable the human being is. Another illustration on that service pamphlet is the hands. And Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah writes, see, I've inscribed you in the palm of my hands. It's a wonderful thought, that, isn't it? See, I have inscribed you in the palm of my hands. God who creates and is in all creation, and we are part of God. We are inscribed in the palm of his hands. And earlier in Isaiah, the prophet wrote how special God's people were. And you can apply that to those verses of how special God's people were to how special you are. We shall sing it later. You've been called by him. Called by your name. You are his. You are precious. What a thought that is. And yet also in the book of Proverbs, we're warned to not mock the poor, to reverence, to show respect to all people, which comes in that little collect this morning, doesn't it? In Proverbs it says, those who mock the poor insult their maker. But we know, as I said at the beginning, human beings drifted, we spoil that image, we distort how we're meant to be. And we sometimes don't treat others like God's beloved child. Jesus came not to just show us God's likeness, but to help us become at one with God, to draw us back into relationship with God and to know we are God's precious child. And the simplest way to explain that, of course, is to look at the cross, isn't it? To remind ourselves of the cost of that love. This is a simple holding cross. I don't know if anyone uses one of these. I find them very helpful at times in prayer to hold on to. I am human. My mind can wander a little bit at times. And I need something to anchor in, to focus back on. A verse of the Bible, maybe. A phrase. And to hold on to the cross. It reminds me. Focuses my mind, but reminds me of the depths of Jesus' love for you and me. And I think the way to look at it is to try and imagine and know that Jesus did that just for you. Would he have done it just for you? Yes, I think he would, actually. Because he told the parable of the lost sheep, didn't he? The shepherd leaving the 99 to go and get the one. So he did that just for you, just for me. And when we saw Jesus in his ministry, he showed love and respect for everyone. We ourselves in community are God's children and are asked to do the same. If we accept we're God's child, then it is about relationship, isn't it? How should a child relate to their parents? Think about a child growing up in love and trust. What does the parent do? Well, they seek to care, to protect, to love, provide, teach. Allow the child to know they're accepted just for who they are. And the child has complete faith and trust, complete dependence in those early years as they're nurtured and grow stronger. Last night we had a bit of a family gathering and I had little Finn in my arms and he's just there, completely dependent. And at that age, 2 months, what are the needs? Wants feeding, wants changing, wants sleep, wants comfort. But as he grows up, as we all grow up, and we're reliant and dependent on our parents, particularly in those growing years, that's the same dependence God seeks from us. Think how dependent Jesus was on his Father. Completely dependent. Would pray over everything. And if he did that, then maybe that's a good thing for us to follow, isn't it? In fact, it is. So if we accept we're a child of God, do we believe, do we feel that we're cared for, loved by God, protected, provided, accepted? And when you come to that realization that you are God's child and made by God and loved by God, how does that make you feel? It makes me feel joyful. Do you feel joyful? Did you feel joyful coming this morning? If you didn't, you should do now. It leads to joy to know that you are loved. And what does God want from us apart from our trust and dependence in him as a child of God? He wants us to become more like Jesus. He wants us to be less like this inverted mirror that distorts us and we're not always a good reflection of who we're meant to be, and become more like this, to reflect the love and light of God in the world as a child of God. To conclude with, Saint Ignatius of Loyola wrote, "If we go about with our intention upright and pure, then Christ himself will look after us in his infinite goodness." May you know the love of Jesus in your life today. May you know the love of God, so complete for you, so boundless, to know that you are a child, a precious child of God, and to walk in his love. Amen.